Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do." The Gospel of the Lord. I have never been a big fan of studying history. It was my least favorite subject in school, right below math. I have discovered, though, I cannot effectively study the Bible without also studying history. Think about it. The Bible itself covers all of human history, from creation all the way to the second coming. The Bible is concerned, however, more with conveying salvation history as opposed to secular history, which is what you and I learned in school. Nonetheless, both salvation history and secular history are two components of human history, your history and my history. Now, here's the hard part about studying history, whether it's sacred or secular. The numbers become more nebulous the further back you travel in time. Dates and names and places go from being very scientific to being very symbolic, from being very hard to being very soft, from being firm facts to being good guesses the further back you go. Just take one familiar example from the book of Genesis. The 7 days of creation are not intended by the inspired author to convey 24-hour periods of time, as scientists might suppose. Instead, the number 7 symbolizes the covenant with God. 7 is the number of the covenant. And therefore, his creating in 7 days meant he created a covenant with us through our first parents, Adam and Eve. In other words, whenever you study history, especially salvation history, keep in mind that numbers carry a symbolic value and not only a scientific value. These soft numbers give rise to no little scholarly debate. Now let me say a word about the evolution of the Bible, the history of the Bible itself, especially the 46 books of the Old Testament. Did you know that in the 3 centuries prior to Jesus' incarnation, there were actually 2 competing canons or official lists of the Old Testament? The Jews living in Jerusalem compiled 1 list, 1 canon, called the Hebrew Bible, containing 39 books. The Jews living in Alexandria, Egypt, one of the greatest centers of learning in the ancient world, boasting the Library of Alexandria, those Jews compiled another list, a canon containing 46 books written in Greek. Now you might be sitting there wondering, who cares about two competing canons of Scripture? This sounds like some intramural squabble among scholars. That's their business, not ours. Well, not so fast. When we read the New Testament, and Jesus, and Peter, and Paul refer to the Scriptures, which canon do they mean? The list of 39 books? Or the list of 46 books? Well, there is wide scholarly consensus that Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament, especially St. Paul, were using the Greek Old Testament with the 46 books. Indeed, there is no debate about using the Greek Old Testament for 1,500 years in the church. Do you know what ecclesiastical earthquake occurred in 1517 that changed the landscape of the church forever? Martin Luther published the first Protestant Bible that used the Hebrew canon of 39 books for the Old Testament and declared the seven books not in the Hebrew canon were uninspired by the Holy Spirit. Luther wrote, "These books are not held equal to the Scriptures, but are good and useful to read." You know, that would be like saying, "My last book of homilies, O Lord, have mercy, is not equal to the Scriptures, but it's good and useful to read." With one stroke of his pen, Martin Luther undid the work of the Holy Spirit in inspiring seven books of the Bible. He declared them uninspired. That is why we cannot effectively study the Bible without also studying history. Do you know what one of those seven books jettisoned from the Protestant Bible is? It is our first reading today from the Book of Wisdom. We read these comforting words from Wisdom chapter 3, verse 1. "The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them." After the lector concluded the reading, she added, "The word of the Lord." And we all dutifully declared, "Thanks be to God." But if Martin Luther had been sitting in the congregation this morning, he would have coughed and said, "No, it's not." In other words, can you feel what is at stake in determining these two competing canons and which one belongs in the Old Testament Scripture? It is not an academic question for spectacled scholars to debate, but it concerns all Christians. Should we read Tobit, Wisdom, Judith, Sirach, Baruch, and 1st and 2nd Maccabees at Mass as the inspired Word of God or not? Studying the history of the Bible can answer that question better than studying the Bible itself can. Why? Because otherwise, how do you know which Bible to study? Praised be Jesus Christ.